Welcome to Straight Talk with My OBMD Podcast. Join me for a bi-weekly discussion on topics most relevant to women's health today. We are your source for medically accurate, real-world advice in all things related to your health and well-being as a woman. From menses to menopause, we've got you covered. I'm your host, Dr. Dana Smith, a fully practicing, board-certified OBGYN physician with close to 20 years' experience. I am also the founder of the website that is 100% dedicated to women's health, myobmd.org. At myobmd.org, we write in all aspects related to women's health. Listen to our podcast, visit our website, subscribe to our newsletter, and follow us on Facebook and Instagram. myobmd.org. Hello, hello. Welcome to Straight Talk with My OBMD. I'm your host, Dr. Dana Smith. Today, we're going to be talking about labor inductions, induction of labor. So if you're pregnant, you're in your third trimester, your doctor is thinking about inducing your labor, hey, this is the podcast for you. We're going to talk about what is an induction of labor? What are the reasons that we perform induction of labor? How it's done? And who should not be induced? There are some patients who should not be induced. So we'll be discussing all of these in this podcast. Welcome back to the Straight Talk with My OBMD podcast. Today, we're going to be discussing labor induction. So induction of labor. Let's start with what is that? So a labor induction is a process that describes someone who is not in labor, someone who's pregnant and they're not in labor, who is brought to the hospital for the purpose of putting them into labor. That's it. So you're taking someone who's not in labor and you're trying to make labor happen. So why do we do that? Well, we do that for several reasons. One, for a medical reason or for a non-medical reason. So there are several medical conditions where your doctor may recommend an induction of labor. And these medical conditions, they all have one thing in common. Continuing the pregnancy pose an increased risk to either yourself or your child, such that the benefits of delivery outweighs the risk of continuing your pregnancy. And so if you have a medical condition that meets that criteria, your doctor may recommend an induction of labor. So what are some of these medical conditions? High blood pressure, hypertension, whether it be chronic hypertension, gestational hypertension, which is high blood pressure that occurs in pregnancy, or preeclampsia, any of those are some of the most common reasons for labor induction. Now, typically, we try to perform these inductions when you're at term, full-term pregnancy being 37 weeks or more, which is once you're 3 weeks out from your due date, your full term. However, there are times, if your condition is severe, when a labor induction will be recommended, even if you're preterm. So that happens less commonly. It's not a decision that we make lightly. However, there are times when the risk of continuing the pregnancy are just too great, even in a preterm pregnancy. And in those conditions, then an induction of labor may be recommended. And we'll talk about some of the more specific medical reasons for induction. What are the non-medical reasons for induction? Non-medical reasons for induction involve convenience. So non-medical reason for inductions, they can be a slew of things. They're just not pertaining to the health of yourself or your child. So, for instance, let's say you have time off from work and you want to maximize your time off from work with have that time off be used with the baby rather than being pregnant. Then some patients request an induction of labor for that reason. They have more time with their child at home during their time off from work. Sometimes patients request an induction of labor based on the availability of the help that they're getting once the baby arrives. So if you're a family member, it can only be in town for a certain time, and you may want to have your baby to coincide with them being around to help you with caring for your newborn. And so again, convenience. Military families. It's very common for military families to request an induction of labor because the partner availability is something that is outside of their control. So if your partner is deployed or planning to be deployed or may be home for a certain time, then it's not uncommon for that patient to request an induction of labor when their partner is going to be at home. So they can also be with them during labor and spend more time with their newborn before they have to leave. Other reasons. If you have a history of fast labor, if you are one of those patients that, hey, my water breaks and 10 minutes later I was having my baby, your doctor may say, I may want you in the hospital when your labor starts because I know that your labor will likely go very fast and your doctor does not want you having your baby en route to the hospital. You always want to have the baby in the hospital if that is your intention. So if you have a history of fast labor, your doctor may actually recommend an induction of labor. If you live in a remote area, so if you live in an area where you're just miles away from the hospital or from the nearest hospital, and there may be concern about you getting to the hospital at the time labor starts. It may start at 3 o'clock in the morning and you may have to travel on icy roads or whatever the case may be. You and your doctor may decide, hey, it may be best for us to go ahead and have more control over this process and start your labor while you are in the hospital. The other reason for an induction of labor that is non-medical is, you guessed it, you are just tired of being pregnant and you are not interested in being pregnant anymore. And that's okay. That happens. Now, you must meet one criteria in order to have an induction of labor done for a non-medical reason. You must be 39 weeks or more. That means you must be at least within 1 week of your due date. So if you are not within 1 week of your due date, it doesn't matter how good of a reason you have. If it's not medical, your doctor will not encourage that. And to be honest with you, that has been such a push in reducing the number of inductions that are occurring before 39 weeks. Most hospitals are reviewed, and hospitals where inductions are deemed to be occurring before 39 weeks without a medical reason, they're dinged. They're dinged by the powers that be, also known as CMS. Either way, the hospital, it's not good for you. It's not good for your baby. If you do not have a medical reason, you should not be induced before 39 weeks. And you should also not be induced before 39 weeks unless you have also good dating. What does that mean? So if you have had regular prenatal care, you likely had an ultrasound before 20 weeks of pregnancy. And those ultrasounds are very accurate in helping us determine if your due date is on point. So if you've had an ultrasound done before 20 weeks of pregnancy and it says, hey, her due date is this, it's consistent with that, then those pregnancies are considered to be adequately dated, meaning we are confident that the due date is accurate. And so we are confident that when we say your baby is 39 weeks, that your baby truly is 39 weeks. If you have not had care and have not had an ultrasound before 20 weeks, then your doctor may be reluctant to deliver you at 39 weeks because the accuracy of the dating may be called into question. So dating pregnancies, the ultrasounds that are done earlier in the pregnancy are more accurate than the ultrasounds that are done later in the pregnancy when it comes to determine your due date. And so that is one of the reasons it's important to get prenatal care as early as you can. So let's talk about some of the medical reasons for induction of labor. What are some of the medical conditions? So we talked about one, high blood pressure, chronic hypertension, preeclampsia, gestational hypertension. Those are some of the most common reasons for induction of labor, because we know that when you continue those pregnancies, sometimes especially for preeclampsia, if it's severe, then we just don't even encourage you to go to term. If it's truly severe and you're not yet term, sometimes we actually encourage delivery before you become full term, because we become worried about the outcome for both yourself and your baby if the condition of high blood pressure or preeclampsia is severe. So post-dates pregnancies. So pregnancies that are past their due date, sometimes that's a medical reason for inducing your labor. And it's actually usually by 42 weeks. If you're 2 weeks past your due date, you should definitely have an induction of labor. Definitely. If you're at your due date within that 1 to 2 weeks, then you speak with your doctor. Most ladies and most doctors are going to agree to an induction of labor by the time you're 1 week past your due date. Why is that? Well, as your pregnancy progresses, your placenta, it doesn't function as well. And if you think about it, that is the only way for your baby to get all its oxygen, its nutrients. And so once your pregnancy is past your due date, then you become concerned that the placenta is not functioning as well, which puts your baby at risk. And so at that point, the risk of continuing the pregnancy may outweigh the benefits of continuing the pregnancy. And so pregnancies that are past their due dates, especially if you're 1 week past your due date, most definitely if you're 2 weeks past your due date, the recommendation is for an induction of labor. Other reasons for medically inducing your labor is your baby is not growing as it should. For whatever reason, your baby may be growing abnormally large, less common, or may not be growing as it should, and it's abnormally small, which is more common. And that's a condition called IUGR. IUGR is an intrauterine growth retardation or growth restriction. And so if the baby is not growing as it should in utero, then the baby may best serve being outside, especially if you're full term. Diabetes. Diabetes is another common reason for induction of labor. Diabetes will affect your placenta, and it also affects the baby's growth. And so, especially a poorly controlled diabetic, a recommendation would be made for an induction of labor. Because again, diabetic babies, they are at risk for abnormal growth. And there's also the risk for both diabetic babies and babies in pregnancies where there is hypertension, there is an increased risk of stillbirth. And so once you get to term, or once you get to 39 weeks, and possibly even before that, more commonly even before that, 37 to 38 weeks, but definitely by 39 weeks and definitely by your due date, if you have any of these conditions, then the recommendation is to go ahead and start an induction of labor. If you have an infection in the uterus, so any signs of a chorioamnionitis. A chorioamnionitis is a uterine infection where they're in a pregnant patient. So the problem with infection is babies have no immunity. They have no immune response in utero. And as a newborn, even they have very little immune response. And so they are extremely susceptible to infection. And so if an infection is detected, then you have to you have to have your baby because the baby will succumb to that infection. The baby has to be delivered so that antibiotics can be delivered directly to the baby to treat that infection. Even if you, as the mom, were to receive antibiotics when you have an intrauterine infection, that antibiotic would not pass through the placenta in sufficient enough volume to adequately fight the infection in the baby. And so whenever there is an infection, then a recommendation is for an induction. A few other reasons. History of a previous stillbirth, especially unexplained stillbirth. So if you've had a previous pregnancy that had a very poor outcome where the baby passed before you delivered, then your doctor will recommend an induction of labor likely a week before that stillbirth occurred in the previous pregnancy. And so that is another condition in which we recommend an induction. A few others, if you have a low amount of amniotic fluid, oligohydramnios, then especially if it's unexplained, then we recommend an induction. And if you have heart disease, we know that as your pregnancy continues, that may be too much of a strain on your heart, then you may need to have your baby sooner rather than later, especially if you're full term. Now, another medical reason is if your baby is needing special care at delivery. So let's say your baby needs surgery we need to have the pediatric cardiologist present or evaluate the baby immediately after birth. Then we're going to need to have some control in the timing of the delivery. And so in those cases, we would want to deliver you, induce your labor, so your labor can be nicely controlled and everyone who needs to be present will be present, as opposed to you coming in at 3 o'clock in the morning when there's very little staffing and we're trying to get a hold of people at a time when it's very difficult to get a hold of people. That would not be good for the baby that needs the immediate care. Immediate specialty care. Now, there will be neonatologists in your hospital, there will be pediatricians in your hospital, but if the care of a particular specialist is needed immediately at birth or immediately after birth, then you will need to have some control of the timing of that delivery. So those are some of the more common reasons why you would need to have a medical induction of labor. Now, let's say that you have decided on an induction. How will that take place? So typically, you come to the hospital and your induction is started. You can actually have methods done in the office to help induce your labor. So for instance, we do something called membrane stripping. And that's when your cervix is checked in the office. And your doctor will, or your midwife will, slide their finger and just gently separate the amniotic sac from the uterus, just at the very opening. And that's called membrane stripping. And that we typically do more for patients who have non-medical reason for induction. And they may say, hey, I'm 39 weeks. You want to try to have your baby sooner than later. You may not want to come to the hospital. That's an option. And, you know, for some patients, it works. It works. So that's one. Nipple stimulation is something that you can do on your own to help induce your labor. And that's just the reason that works is because when you stimulate your nipples, your brain releases a hormone called oxytocin. And oxytocin is actually the same medicine we give you to put you into labor. It's also called Pitocin. And so nipple stimulation can help, can be another way of labor induction. I would advise you to speak with your doctor before you do that at home to make sure that is appropriate to do. So those are some of the milder approaches to a labor induction. Another non-medication way of inducing your labor is a newer device on the market called Dilapen S. And that is a device that your doctor places inside your cervix. And as it's placed in your cervix and it stays there over several hours, it slowly expands to help to dilate your cervix. And your doctor may choose to do it in the hospital or outside of the hospital. That'll be a discussion for you and your doctor to have. And another device is called a Foley balloon that is put inside the, in place through the cervix at the lower portion for that same purpose, to gently dilate it. The Foley balloon we do in the hospital. The Dilapen S can be done inside or outside of the hospital. So those are the more common non-medical ways to induce labor. If you come to the hospital, you would like, for the purpose of a labor induction, then you will likely receive medicines. The type of medicines you receive will depend on how dilated your cervix is. So if you are already dilated, then your doctor may say, hey, you're already dilated. You may be 3 centimeters, 4 centimeters dilated. Your doctor may say, hey, let's just break your water and see what happens. We do that all the time. So that is still an induction of labor or a labor augmentation, because some would argue that your labor has already started since you're 3 to 4 centimeters dilated. So in that process, they break your water and you just kind of allow your body to do its thing, to go into labor on its own at that point. Or if your water is broken and after a few hours, nothing is happening, then they may start Pitocin, oxytocin or Pitocin, the same drug, to help your uterus to contract. So you become, that's another way to help encourage labor. So that's great. And usually patients that come to the hospital already 3 to 4 centimeters dilated, that's fantastic, because their labor process tends to be shorter and you have a greater chance of having a successful vaginal delivery. So what happens if your labor is being induced and your cervix is closed? You are not in labor at all. So that will take a little bit more effort. It will take a little bit more effort and it has to be done in stages. So first, we have to do something that's called ripening your cervix. And that involves giving you a medicine that is slower acting and that will help to soften the cervix. It helps to pull the cervix forward, so it's more anterior and not posterior, and it helps to dilate the cervix. So it does all those things. And you have different options of medication for that. The more commonly used options are drugs called Cytotec or Misoprostol, and you also have another drug called Cervidil that is used for that purpose. And these are very effective. The Misoprostol or the Cytotec, the same thing, different names for the same pill. They're placed inside the vagina, or you may take it by mouth. It works faster than the Cervidil, because the Misoprostol, usually you just need it for a few hours. And it's very effective at bringing on your contractions and ripening your cervix. The Cervidil is a little device that houses the medicine in the device. It looks like a teeny tiny tampon, and it's placed inside the vagina all the way back close to your cervix, and that can stay in for up to 12 hours. And sometimes if it works really well, it can be removed before the 12-hour mark. If not, it stays in for the 12-hour, and at that point, once it's removed, you and your doctor will decide, do you need another one? Do you need to now go on to breaking your water and Pitocin? So you'll be reevaluated. Sometimes you may need 2 or even 3 Cervidils. So just be patient, especially if you are not in labor. It can take some time. Sometimes it takes a few days. So once your cervix is ripened and you're dilated, then wonderful, we get to break your water and give you the Pitocin. So that's the process of putting someone into labor. Now, are there patients who should not be induced? Yes, there are patients who should not be induced. Who are those patients? So patients, if you have a baby that is breech, where it is not head first, then you should not be induced. You will need to have a C-section. Placenta previa. Placenta previa is a condition where your the placenta is the first thing that's coming out of their cervix. So rather than the head that's there, the placenta is in front of the baby's head. So those condition requires you to have a C-section. If you've had a previous uterine surgery, depending on the type of surgery you have, you may not be a good person, a good candidate to be induced. If you have active herpes infection, again, not a good idea. You should not be induced. So there are some patients who should not be induced and some who it's okay to go ahead and do that. That is the process of labor induction and labor augmentation. It's a similar process. It's just a difference in terminology. Augmentation refers to the process of someone who has already started their labor, but it has stalled. Now we're giving you medicines to push you, gently push you along. That's a labor augmentation. A labor induction is someone who has not started their labor process at all. And we are now trying to get you into labor. And so that is the process. Remember, non-medical induction of labor, you need to be at least 39 weeks, which means you need to be within 1 week of your due date. And you should have a pregnancy that's dated by an ultrasound that's at least 20 weeks or less. Medical induction of labor, you and your doctor will discuss the timing of the medical induction of labor. That will depend on the severity of your illness and your prognosis. What do we anticipate will happen should your pregnancy continue? What are the risks of that pregnancy continuing? And is the baby better off? Will your health be improved if the baby is delivered sooner rather than later? And so those are some of the things to consider and discuss with your physician when considering induction of labor. To learn more about labor induction, visit the myobmd.org website. On myobmd.org, we have several articles on labor induction. You can peruse those to learn more about this medical procedure. Visit the myobmd.org webpage. Follow us on Instagram, like us on Facebook, and sign up for our newsletter at myobmd.org. Thank you for listening. Thank you for listening to another episode of Straight Talk with My OBMD podcast. To learn more about this topic, visit our website at myobmd.org. Subscribe to our newsletter. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram. I can't wait to spend more time with you on our next episode of Straight Talk with My OBMD.